Okay, everybody. Part of good Shabbos. Parshas Pekudei. Not so much going on in this week's parsha. I mean, there's a lot going on, but not so much new going on in this week's parsha. Again, this is a continuation of the rehashing of the building of the Mishkan. Here we actually have the actual building, really the actual weaving, right, of all of the begadim. That takes us through about Revi'i. Revi'i Chamishi, they bring the Mishkan to Moshe, about Shishi or so, right, Moshe sets it up. Right, Kosh Baruch Hu tells him to wait, right, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right, Moshe sets it up, and then finally, right, Kosh Baruch Hu's Shechina comes down and dwells and rests in the Mishkan, and that's how we approach Chazak, Chazak, Fines, Chazak. So, as you might imagine, right, Pekudei doesn't come out by itself, right, very often, and certainly not without another parsha attached to it. Usually it's either Shkalim or Zachor or something like that. Anyway, we'll find a couple of things to talk about, and then we'll call it. Throughout the entire parsha, right, if you notice, right, if you've done Shnai Mikra, you will notice when you go to shul, right, the Torah continuously uses the phrase Kasher Tziva Hashem, right, as Moshe, that Bnei Yisrael did exactly as Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, it says 18 times, 19 times, it didn't count exactly. It says it many times. If I'm not mistaken, the Medrash actually, it must be 18, because I think the Medrash says that Chazal, that the Anshei Knesset Sagadola, patterned Shmona Esrei, right, after how many times it says Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. I forget if it's 18 or 19, because yes, there are 19 brachos in Shmona Esrei. Okay, right, we added one later, fine, I forget, that's why I'm not sure. But anyway, long story short, Bnei Yisrael did the Mishkan exactly how Kosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, and the question obviously begs itself, why in the world do you have to repeat it so many times? Right? And he even says, if you look at Pasuk Mem Gimel here in Perek Lamed Tes, Vayar Moshe is called Malacha, right? Moshe saw all the work, V'hinei asu osa kasher tziva Hashem kein asu, right? And they did it as Hashem commanded, that's what they did. Again, it just, the Torah emphasizes many, many times that Bnei Yisrael did exactly as Hashem commanded. So, what's the point? We know the Torah doesn't waste words. It could have written it once. We would have gotten to the idea, right? Why does he have to repeat it so often? So, I heard from my chavrusa, Rabbi Josh Cantor, the following simple but deep idea. And that is simply that mankind has many different ideas about how to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, some religions value, you know, living a life of solitude and abstinence and silence and fasting, whatever, you know, on a hilltop somewhere. Some religions demand very little, just like a belief that you're going to be saved or something. Other religions, you know, view, you know, other ways to, you know, to do avodah zarah. Right? There's hilarious examples in the Chumash, right, of different avodah zarahs. Right? People have dietary rules, right? Some weird, you know, there's cannibalism, there's self-mollification, like, and self-degradation, etc. There's a lot of humanity can come up with a lot of really weird things, right? Can come up with a lot of really weird things if you put your mind to it, to how to quote-unquote worship God. And even within Yiddishkeit, right, unfortunately, there's many opinions and many divergent opinions. I'm not talking about legitimate opinions. I'm saying there's many illegitimate opinions about, you know, what is proper, and people pick and choose, and, you know, I'm going to drive to shul because davening is paramount. Well, you know, even though driving is against halacha, okay, but there's, you know, people kind of like pick and choose, like they're, you know, picking through potatoes or onions or apples or whatever. So how do you know what to do? Right? There's so many possibilities in terms of worship, quote unquote. So we have to realize that only things that are kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, right, is what is legitimate. Right? The Torah and Halacha has to be our basis, our guide, our rock, right? Because very often, unfortunately, right, people feel a need to add or edit or insert, right, their own methods of worship. And as I heard from J.J. Schachter once, and when that happens, right, the religion you're now using, the religion you're now worshiping is no longer Judaism. Right, you're no longer serving Kosh Baruch Hu. Right now, all you're doing is serving yourself, because what you're doing, what you decided to add or edit or change or use a priority, right, that already makes you feel good. Right, the mitzvos make you feel good. That's not the point. I mean, yes, the mitzvos do make you feel good, but that's not the point. I mean, the point, if you discard and pick and choose like you're in a grocery store, right, just because it doesn't fit like your moral or religious bubble or whatever, right, that's, you know, that's tzviism. You know, that's not Yiddishkeit, that's not Judaism. That's using the Torah to serve yourself. Kosh Baruch Hu set forth laws in the Torah, and again, the pasuk says you can't add, you can't detract, right? That's, again, in economy, the Chazal have done, you know, added many things to make sure we don't come to violate the Torah and kind of transgress the things that Kosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. But there's a way of life that Hashem wants us to live, yeah? And when we start adding things, like you show up with, you know, a 10-piece orchestra to Shabbos Musaf, even though that's very nice to you, right? That's not exactly. That's not at all what Kosh Baruch Hu wants, and that's why the Torah here emphasized, right, that Bnei Yisrael followed every single exact instruction, every single detail. Right, there were so many details. Right, so many details in the Mishkan, little things, tiny things. Make this out of gold, make that out of silver, make this out of nechoshes. How many of these? How many of that? Right, and it wasn't just one guy putting it all together. Right, they had a ton of partisans and artists and all these types of things. Yes, Bezalel, Moshe were in charge, but you can imagine how much manpower it took to build this entire structure. I'd imagine, right, the people who were building it had their own ideas and thought, oh, maybe this should be slightly different and this should be slightly different, but nobody added anything. Right, that was, they did it all Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, and that's important and that's crucial, because if they would have added their own designs, that wouldn't have been what Hashem commanded. That wouldn't have been a Mishkan for the Hashem, it would have been a Mishkan for themselves. What that would have been was another Egel Azov. Right, what's the difference between the Egel Azov and the Aron? Hashem commanded us to build the Aron. Hashem did not command us to build the Egel Azov, and obviously there are other differences, but when you insert your own worship, that's literally the definition of Avodah Zarah. It's a foreign worship. It's a worship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not command, right? That the Pasuk says, by another Naviu, right? They said that they brought a strange Ketoret or a strange Esh Zarah, Asher Lo Tziva Hashem. Right? What's the definition of a foreign fire? Is that Hashem did not command it, right? Once you start creating your own religion, or your own religious practices, right? So then that's already not what we're looking for, right? Again, we unfortunately suffer from that, right? Am Yisrael suffers from that to an extent, right? I grew up hearing a lot of phrases that people would say is like, I don't hold to that, or like, what does that mean, you don't hold to that? Like, if the Shulchan Aruch says X and you just don't hold to that, I mean, okay, if you have another opinion and there's another competing, fine, but you can't just pick and choose. Right, that's not a thing. Right? You can't just, you know, I don't hold of, I don't know, 6 hours between meat and milk because I want a popsicle. Like, that's, what does that mean? That's your own thing. That's the attitude that we need to have, and that's what we learned in Parshas Pekudei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, commanded us X, Y, and Z, gave all these little details, and Am Yisrael kept to it to a T, without adding anything. Right? Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, right, that's Torah life, right, and that's Jewish life, right, and that's how we have to try and maybe adjust a little bit our focus, and realize... right, they have the whole discussion, right? Why is Gemara talks about in a couple of places, right? Why is Eina Mitzuv V'Yoseh Gadol Mitzuv Mitzuv V'Yoseh? Right? Why is a person who does a mitzvah when he's not commanded, why do they get less schar than a person who does a mitzvah when they are commanded? Right? They have the discussion about about women and other things, right? When they opt in, just because I teach in the seminary comes to mind. But a couple of places, right? Because I'll say Gadol Mitzuv V'Yoseh Misha Eina Mitzuv V'Yoseh. It's, you get more schar if you did it and you're commanded as opposed to if you were not commanded. But everybody asks, I don't understand. Right? You opted in to a mitzvah, right? You were not commanded. You decided to go above and beyond and do this mitzvah. Why shouldn't you get more schar for that, right? You're going above and beyond the call, the letter of the law, the call of duty. So there are many interpretations, and one of them simply is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded X, Y, and Z, and when you decide to do something else, right, that's not necessarily in line with what the Torah wants. Yes, okay, fine. If you're not, obviously, for women, for example, the Shega Lulav, right, that's inherently objectively positive, and, you know, Ashkenazim make a bracha, and Sfarim don't, and whatever. Okay, no, I don't want to down on every single little detail, but that's one of the answers the Chazal give, is that when you come and create your own option, right, that's not as valuable as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Okay, weiter. We mentioned that pasuk a second ago, and I want to just harp on the end of the pasuk. For a moment, Pasuk says, "Vayar Moshe es kol ha-malachav v'inei asu osok asher tziva Hashem kein asu vayivarech usam Moshe." Again, Pasuk Lamentes, Perek Lamentes, Pasuk Mem Gimel. So basically, Moshe saw that all the work had been completed like Hashem commanded, and vayivarech usam Moshe. So Rashi writes that what does it mean that Moshe blessed them? What's vayivarech usam? Moshe says, Rashi quotes it. Right? He says over here, "Amar lahem." Moshe said to Bnei Israel, "Yi ratzon." It should be Hashem's will that Hashem's Shechina should dwell amongst your work, right? That should come and dwell amongst the, you know, what you created, i.e. the Mishkan, right? We know Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Masayedenu Kana Aleinu, right? We know that from Motzei Shabbos davening. Okay, and that's good, right? Good. So the question that is asked, right? Rav Melech Biderman asks a simple question. He says, "I don't understand. Wasn't that like the entire purpose of the Mishkan?" Right, Pasuk says, "Vasuli mikdash v'shechanti b'socha." Right, Hashem says, "Make for me a mishkan." Right, it calls it a mikdash. That's another shmuz. Right, we've talked about that. But make for me a mishkan so that my shechina will dwell amongst them. Right, that was the whole purpose. So Moshe saw that they built it. He says, Yiraton, it should be Hashem's will that he should put and dwell his Shekhinah amongst it. I'm like, well, yeah, obviously, that was the whole plan. Like, that was the whole point. So Rav Melech answers in the name of other tzaddikim, which I would imagine is him trying to say a chiddush without saying it. But okay, could be, maybe not. But that's what it seems. Anyway, so yes, answers that yes, of course, that was the plan. But nothing comes to this world without tefillah. Right? Just because Bnei Yisrael followed Hashem's instructions to a T doesn't necessarily mean, right, that they're going to get bracha. They had to ask for it. Right, that's one of the ways that Akash Broker created this world. He was mitzantzim himself a little bit. Right, that Rav Pincus writes a whole big discussion on that. But I forget which sefer. He has two sefer on tefillah. I forget where I saw it. I think it's in Sharm Tefillah, but I could be wrong. That it, basically that Akash Broker kind of is mitzantzim. He kind of removes himself and really, even though he knows that's what we want and he knows that what the purpose was, we still have to ask for it. We, our tefillah, still have to bring it down into this world. Now, why should this be so? Right, so again, this is just to reiterate, right, what tefillah is very, very misunderstood. We very often think that davening is begging Hashem for stuff. You know, kind of like a four-year-old begs his father for a lollipop. And if we nag him enough times, right, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it. That's not, that's really not what davening is all about, right? We have, most of the davening is praise. If you look at the brachos and Pesukei Zimra and this and that, most of the overwhelming majority of davening is praise. It's not begging Hashem for stuff. And so, meaning the point was that we have to recognize and give thanks. Very often, right, the purpose of davening is for us to kind of like take a moment to step back and think about our own lives. Right? We've talked in the past that the word lehit palel, right, is reflexive. We're doing it to ourselves. The word pilel, again, without bringing all the fancy sources, we've done this before, right, but the word pilel means to think, and lehit palel means to think about yourself. So it's reflexive. So davening is a point where you get to take back and reflect, right? To liyedo liyoda, to kind of, my Rebbe Rav Sacks used to always point out, right? The whole purpose, the end, Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, that you should recognize that Hashem created the world and give Him thanks for it. So we should, we praise Hashem endlessly during davening, right? To kind of focus our lives, right? And realize where the bracha is coming from. So that's the purpose of prayer. So Moshe uttered a short tefillah, right? Because even though that's what Hashem wanted, right, the whole point is for us to come to that realization, right, and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah down to us. And that's really, honestly, a perfect way kind of to finish off the Sefer about Revelation, right? About HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing Himself and Maimon Har Sinai and the Makos, etc. Right? The whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim was enabled for us to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to realize that, you know, our tefillos are what are enable us, right, to bring down Hashem Shekhinah, right? It's not just going to happen by ourselves, right? We are the vehicle in this physical world, right, to bring down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah. Now, just to kind of finish that off a little bit, complete that thought, the Torah, the Sefer Shmos ends a little bit strange, right? It says, Ki anan Hashem al, what is the end? Here's the last pasuk. Ki anan Hashem al hamishkan yomam ve'esh tia light ledbo. Basically that the cloud of Hashem was on the Mishkan during the day. There's a fire at night, then everybody could see it. B'chol masahem, and all of their travelings, and all of their when they travel throughout the midbar, chazak chazak v'mischazek. It's a little bit kind of anticlimactic, right? We just left Egypt. We had Revelation, five parshios by the Mishkan, chedego, goshbor, and we finish off that Hashem was dwelling on the Mishkan. Mishkan is completed, etc. So what exactly is the dramatic ending over here? So the Ramban, in the introduction to Sefer Shmos, writes that Shmos is the culmination of Bereishis. Kind of don't want to spend too much time on that, but basically, long story short, he writes that Bnei Yisrael were not considered to be free, completely free, right, until they had the Torah and they returned to a matzav, to a situation of, right, of Adam Rishon Kona Bachede, of the Avos, not Adam Rishon, but of the Avos. Meaning the Avos, right, had a situation of, right, Ashkosh Ashkina, right, they were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. So only when Bnei Yisrael attained that, right, were they Zocha, right, to be truly, truly free. So that's what Ramban says, that the end of the Sefer, right, really highlights that fact, that yes, freedom in and of itself was nice, but it's only good in the sense that when we have a Kosh Baruch Hu living in our own lives, right, the whole point of being free and not being slaves, right, is to get to the point where a Kosh Baruch Hu lives in our lives. Now the Gra has an unbelievable pshat, right, in this last pasuk, and we have to go back quickly to the Egel Azov, right? Kosh Baruch Hu Right. Promise Bnei Yisrael that Hinei Anu Pasuk Lamedalad Perek Lamedalad Pasuk Yud. He says Hinei Anuchi Kareis Bris Neged Kol Amcha and Ascend the Flows. I share the Nivru B'Chol Arz V'Chol Goyim. If you've ever leaned or you've ever heard of leaning on a fast day, right, it probably comes easy to you. Recall Asher what is it? Hamasher Atabek Yerbo Es Masher Hashem Kinorahu. Okay, etc. Basically, Kosh Baruch Hu said that he'll make for us a bris. Before all of Am Yisrael, he will perform miracles that had never been created in the entire world or amongst all the nations. Okay, that's the translation of the pasuk. Good, and then I'll say that Kosh Baruch Hu is king, etc. A quick review of that pasuk. Right, again, this is after Maimon Har Sinai, after the Chet Ha'Egel, that Hashem is saying, okay, we're gonna have a bris. I forgive you. That I'm gonna do niflaos. I will do wonders that no one has ever seen. And so the problem is that Hashem can't be referring to in knee-jerk, when you read that pasuk, you assume he's talking about, you know, the Makos and all the stuff that he did in Egypt. Except that the pasuk is in future tense, not in past tense. Right? Hashem can't be promising to do miracles that no one's ever seen yet. What, he's going to outdo the Makos? We don't find anywhere in the Chumash that Hashem outdid the Makos. Right? What in the world is that? What is he talking about? So Rashi and the Ramban, right, other Rishonim, explain that Hashem is promising to send his Shechina down amongst Bnei Yisrael, to live amongst Bnei Yisrael. That is the great miracle that he promised, that for us, Hashem to separate Am Yisrael from all the other nations and show us niflos from the Torah. How does that outdo, right? How does that outdo, right, the Makos? So it points out the Vilna Gaon in the Deres Eliyahu, said that's exactly what the last pasuk of the Sefer is pointing out, right? When Bnei Yisrael succeeded in building the Mishkan, right, the pasuk says, "Kianan." Again, just to read it again, "Kianan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam, leNikol Yisrael b'chol Masehem." Right, the cloud of glory and the fire would be on the Mishkan, yeah, to the eyes of all Bnei Yisrael throughout all of their traveling. Says the Gra, up until that point, only the tzaddikim saw the pillar of clouds and the pillar of fire. Right? Now, when the Mishkan was built, Hashem's glory was revealed to all of Bnei Yisrael, right, regardless of spiritual level. Right, Hashem had unlocked, right, the, you know, visibility, as it were, right, if you're playing a video game, you know, the Havdil Elf 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 Delos, now you can see the entire map, right, now you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, right, regardless of spiritual level. And points out Rapinkus, and his comments in Sukkos, right, that was the great miracle that no one had ever seen before, right, that someone who is not worthy would be able to receive the Shechina. That was greater than all the other miracles that Hashem could have done throughout the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? That Bnei Yisrael were gifted this opportunity, that even for us, us simple folk, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That was the amazing nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and that's the culmination of Shefer Shmos, that really truly highlights that Bnei Yisrael got back, right, to the place of the Avos, that even the simple folk, like all of us, right, were able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, and that's very, very, very encouraging, right? For nowadays, right, obviously we're having a difficult time, maybe the war, etc. Mishnechnas, other Marv Mishimcha, you don't need to be a great tzaddik, right, to see tremendous miracles. We're seeing that every single day. If you hear any stories about the Chayalim, right, you hear stories of miracles happening to regular people. Not that the tzaddikim, the Chayalim aren't tzaddikim, okay, many of them are, but I don't want to, that's not what I meant. But a lot of miracles are happening to regular people, certainly with all the amount of rockets being shot at Eretz Yisrael, right, and you know, hurting very, very few. You know, I don't want to belittle the ones who have been hurt and killed by it, but certainly hurting very, very few. Right? There are miracles being done for all of us simple folk every single day. Right? And that's the end of Sefer Shmos, that no matter where we're holding spiritually, that we still have the opportunity of Vishachati V'socham, the letting Hashem dwell amongst us. All right, and that's the point of the Mishkan. And may we all be zocha, right, to have that in our lives on a day-to-day basis. I wish everybody a tremendous Shabbos and almost a Freilichim Purim.